Welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer. On today's program, Joyce will be teaching from her Bible study on the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is such a practical book of the Bible filled with some of the most important lessons of our faith. Guiding us through Ephesians, Joyce will help us learn all about who we are in Christ and how to behave as his followers. Now, here's Joyce with today's teaching.
In 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul told Timothy, "Herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by. Be at hand and ready, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome." Now listen to this. You as a preacher of the word are to show people in what way their lives are wrong. And convince them, rebuking, correcting, warning, urging, and encouraging them. Not just encouraging them, but all of it. And can I tell you, the ministers that you have who really love you will take a chance on you getting aggravated at them if that's what it takes to get the truth through to you that will make the changes in your life that you need that are going to bring you the things you say that you want. And I feel so strongly about that. It's not my job to make sure you don't get mad at me. It's my job to make sure when I stand before God that I've done what he wanted me to do. And that's your job too. Amen? So, having said that, let us press on. In Ephesians 5, the first 9 verses talk about pursuing clean living. Pursue means to crave and to go after with all of your strength. If you want to be an excellent person, you're going to have to really want it bad, because we live in a very mediocre world and people will fight you on it. If you want to be a really honest person, it's possible you could lose your job, because somebody out there is going to want you to help them cheat, help them lie. They're going to want you to do immoral things. But your responsibility is first and foremost to God. It's not to them. And if you do what's right, listen to me, God will get you a better job than the one that you're being threatened to lose. If you want to get out in the world that we live in today and serve God, I might as well tell you it's going to cost you something. But here's the thing. Romans 14:12 says, every man will stand before God and give an account of his life. Every man. And I don't know about you, but that brings a reverential fear and awe to my life. This is going to be over. Things are not going to stay the way they are here forever. Everybody gets old. Everybody dies. There's nobody that can get away from that. And I know you don't think much about it when you're 15 or 20 or even 30, but let me tell you, I've been thinking about it a whole lot more lately. I mean, I'm serious. I had this eye-opening revelation a few years ago that I've already lived a good 2/3 of my life. And I don't have any time to mess around. And let me tell you something, a lot of you don't either. And the day is going to come when we're going to all stand before God and give an account of our lives. And I am spending my time now getting ready so I don't have to be ashamed then. Amen. Matter of fact, I love the scriptures and I became very aware of them last year. There are several places in the Bible where Paul talks to people about their behavior and he follows it up with this statement, "For the Lord is near. For the Lord is near." So can I just say to you tonight, it's time to behave a lot better because Jesus is coming back soon. I think I'll say it to this group over here. Think about that. It's time to make those decisions that you know you need to make, but you keep putting off till another time. Do you know the most dangerous word that I know is tomorrow? I'm going to do that. I'm just going to do it tomorrow. God doesn't want us to do it tomorrow. He wants us to do it when he tells us to do it. And you know, I told a group of people last week, I was preaching in Jacksonville, and I said, we have to understand that when God puts something on our heart to do or not do, there's an anointing on us then to do it. And if we'll do it when God says to do it, we're gonna have supernatural help from Him. But if we wait until it's our time, we're gonna end up trying to do it by ourselves. And then it probably won't work. Beautiful. All right, Ephesians chapter 5. Let's just read a few of these first verses just to talk about clean living. I'm sure you can't hardly wait. Here you go. I love verse 1. Therefore, be an imitator of God. Copy Him and follow His example as well-beloved children imitate their father. And the next thing he says is, and walk in love. Well, you know, love just really covers everything. I mean, to be honest with you, I can just tell you the absolute truth. You could forget everything that I said tonight and do nothing but focus on walking in love, and you'd have all the rest of it covered. Because love never does any harm to anyone. Love is always patient, it's always kind, it's always good, it's always humble. It's never jealous, it's never envious, it always believes the best, it never gives up on people, it's not haughty, it's not high-minded, it is not touchy, it's not easily offended. Amen? And that's 1 Corinthians 13, about 1 through 8, something like that. And so honestly and truly, if you don't want to think about all these other behaviors, I've learned in my life, I just study love a lot and I focus on trying to love God and love people, and it just takes care of so many things that then I don't have to try to not say things that hurt people's feelings, and I don't have to try to get over being mad at people. There's so many things we don't have to try to do if we focus on love. And you know what? As Christians, we're great about talking about love and theorizing about love. I mean, one of the worst selling books I had was the book I wrote on love. Honestly, it was terrible. It was embarrassing how bad it sold. And it wasn't because it wasn't good. It's because people don't place a priority on that. It was about forgetting about yourself and doing things for other people. Well, you write a book like that, don't expect to sell many copies. I thought about writing one on dying to self and just, you know, I think I may just put out some really gut-wrenching books in the last few years of my life and just see, maybe if you won't read them, maybe things get bad enough in the earth, somebody will come along 100 years from now and say, I need that. Listen, the Bible says the only way that you know that you've passed over out of death into life is by the fact that you love people. Until we learn how to love people, we're held in continual death. Our lives are just full of death. So he talks a lot about love. And then get this. But immorality, verse 3, sexual vice, all impurity of lustful, rich, wasteful living. And that doesn't say you can't have money. It says don't be wasteful. Or greediness. And you know, some of these things are almost, they've become almost acceptable sins. Covetousness. Well, I want what you've got. Well, the Bible says it's wrong to want what somebody else has got. We should be thankful for what we have and trust God to give us what He wants us to have. Greediness must not even be named among you. Verse 4, let there be no filthiness, obscenity, indecency, nor foolish and sinful, silly and corrupt talk, nor coarse jesting. Like, don't be telling dirty jokes. Okay, let's take it to another level. Don't even tell suggestively off-color jokes. You know what? God doesn't think they're funny. I'm glad you're here, brother. I read a story today about a group of men that were sitting around, and they were church men. Godly men, supposedly. And there were some ladies there also, and they'd all had dinner together. And so the ladies got up to go in another room to do something else. And one of the men said, oh, now that the ladies are gone, I heard this story today that I want to tell you. And one of the like really godly men said, wait a minute, brother. If you can't tell it in front of the ladies, then don't tell it to us, because God's going to hear you whether the ladies are here or not. And see, I think that we need to get a little bit braver, even with our friends and the people that we love, and just say, you know what? I really don't want to hear that. You know what? I really don't. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to keep going there. I mean, somebody that I know got into some sin recently, and man, everybody was just like, talking about it. I finally said, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it anymore. We don't need to be talking about that kind of stuff. You talk about things if you need to, but you don't need to just keep talking about it and keep talking about it and keep talking about it just because it's gossipy, because it fills you with death. It doesn't fill you full of life. And since I'm out in the deep water, I might as well just keep going. Let's just talk about... Okay, listen, let's talk about sexual immorality for a little bit. Well, do you really think, Sister Joyce, that we should be talking about sex in church? Well, I think we better talk about it here. I don't care what modern culture says. The Bible says that you should not have sex until you get married. And I know marriage is not very popular today, and people say, well, it's only a piece of paper. It's not about the piece of paper. It's about the commitment. It's about making that commitment. And I really respect young people today who are taking vows to stay pure until they actually get married. I think that's very important. Now listen, this is not under condemnation. If you've already made mistakes, there's forgiveness, but don't just keep making them over and over and over. We had a really beautiful thing happen in a conference that I did earlier this year. There was a couple who'd been listening to me, and they'd really been touched by the word, and they'd been living together for a long time. And they came to my conference in Phoenix and made a decision that night, it's time for us to get things right. And they went and talked to Pastor Mike and said they were going to make things right, stop living like that, make a full commitment, and get married right away. You know something? It's time for us to live the way God wants us to live, not the way the world says it's okay to live. Listen, young ladies, it's perfectly okay to say no. I don't care what everybody else is doing. My answer to you is no. And if that's what you want from me, you got the wrong person. Amen? I had to say that. Immorality. Use wisdom, ladies, in how you dress. Don't be dressing in some kind of provocative way that's going to... You know, it's a shame when you got to get up in the pulpit in front of this many thousands of people and tell them how to dress. But here's the thing, we're too affected by the world. Just because it's fashion, that doesn't mean I get to wear it. There's all kinds of pretty things you can wear and still not have half your body hanging out. Well, I'm sure I've gone to meddling now, but it's too late to turn back. Paul warns over and over against sexual sin, greediness, indecency. Come on, when something stupid comes on your television, don't wait to see how stupid it's going to get before you turn it off. Hey, listen, I do that too once in a while. I think, well, surely it's going to get better. You know what? If it ain't good in the beginning, it's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse. Amen.
When we study the Bible, God connects with us through His Holy Spirit. He shows us how much He loves us and who we are in Him. That's why Joyce chose to offer this extensive Bible teaching on a single book from God's Word, Ephesians. Ephesians is a relatively short book, but it's packed with important lessons on faith. We must have a solid foundation of who we are in Christ before dealing with how we should and shouldn't behave as His followers. Thank you for listening to Enjoying Everyday Life. Your partnership with Joyce Meyer Ministries allows us to share the love of Christ around the world.